Briefly, the history of America goes like this. There was a frontier, and then there was no longer a frontier. It all happened rather quickly. There were Indians, then explorers, then settlers, then towns, then cities. Nobody was really paying attention until the moment the wilderness was officially tamed, at which point everybody wanted it back. Within the general spasm of nostalgia that ensued, Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, Frederick Remington's cowboy paintings, there came a very specific cultural panic, rooted in the question, what will become of our boys? The problem was that, while the classic European coming-of-age story generally featured a provincial boy who moved to the city and was transformed into a refined gentleman, the American tradition had evolved into the opposite. The American boy came of age by leaving civilization and striking out toward the hills. There he shed his cosmopolitan manners and became a robust and proficient man. Not a gentleman, mind you, but a man. This was a particular kind of man, this wilderness-bred American. He was no intellectual. He had no interest in study or reflection. He had, as de Tocqueville noticed, a sort of distaste for what is ancient. Instead, he could stereotypically be found as the explorer John Fremont described in the uber-frontiersman Kit Carson, mounted on a fine horse, without a saddle and scouring bareheaded over the prairies. Either that, or whipping his mighty axe over his shoulder and casually throwing cedars and oaks to the ground, as one extremely impressed 19th-century foreign visitor observed. In fact, to all the foreign visitors during the 18th and 19th centuries, the American man was a virtual tourist attraction in his own right, almost as fascinating as Niagara Falls, or that ambitious new railroad system, or those exotic Indians. Not everybody was a fan, of course. Still, for better or worse, everyone seemed to agree that this was a new kind of human being, and that what defined the American man more than anything else was his resourcefulness, born out of the challenges of wrenching a new world from virgin wilderness. Unhindered by class restrictions, bureaucracy, or urban squalor, these Americans simply got more done in a single day than anyone had imagined possible. That was the bottom line. Nobody could believe how fast these guys worked. German-born Gottfried Duden, who traveled to the West in 1824 to identify suitable homesteads for German families interested in immigrating to America, reported home in wonder. In North America, construction jobs which the European countries do not accomplish in centuries are completed in a few years through the voluntary cooperation of individual citizens. At the time of Duden's visit, for instance, the farmers of Ohio were busy constructing a 230-mile-long canal without the help of a single licensed engineer. Duden saw beautiful cities thriving where not even towns had stood 2 years before. He saw new roads, new bridges, thousands of new farms, and 100 more steamships, all new, handmade, ingeniously designed, and perfectly operative. Did the American man need something done? Well, then he simply made it happen. It was such an attractive idea, this notion of the bold and competent New World citizen. The English traveler writer Isabel Bird, famous for her cool and detached prose, seemed scarcely able to keep from exclaiming hubba hubba as she checked out the rugged men she kept encountering on her trip to America in the 1850s. It is impossible to give an idea of the Western men to anyone who has not seen one, at least a specimen, tall, handsome, broad-chested, and athletic, with aquiline noses, piercing gray eyes, and brown curling hair and beards. They wore leather jackets, leather small clothes, large boots with embroidered tops, silver spurs and caps of scarlet cloth, worked with somewhat tarnished gold thread, doubtless the gifts of some fair ones enamored of the handsome physiognomies and reckless bearing of the hunters. Dullness fled from their presence. They could tell stories, whistle melodies, and sing. Blithe, cheerful souls they were, telling racy stories of Western life, chivalrous in the manners, and free as the winds. Look, I wasn't there. It's hard to know how much of this rhetoric was based on truth and how much was the product of an excitable